We are now reconvening the meeting. It is 10:30 a.m. And I will begin with public comment. Is there any public comment in Elko?
There is not.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
There is none.
All right. And I see public comment here in Reno. We will begin with that. If you are here to give public comment, I'm going to ask you to please line up. We are operating on an extremely tight time schedule for this full board meeting because we have an event in Winnemucca at 2:30 for the grand opening of a building there that has been funded by one of our NSHE donors. So, I don't like to be the police, but I'm going to be the police on timekeeping now. And each of you will have 2 minutes. Please give your name and spell your last name for the record. And thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
It's Edwin Lingar, L-Y-N-G-A-R. I was just up here. You'll remember me from 2 minutes ago. Because this is the full meeting, I wanted to just again restate my comments that again, I started at TMCC 5 years ago. The part-time faculty really do need to be considered. If there's any increase, I do know that there is the proposal to raise the pay of some. In chatting in the audience, I talked to a few people. The rate for part-timers at Great Basin is $800. We have all sorts of discrepancy all over the board on what part-timers are paid. As I said, TMCC has done some good things. I want to talk about just one or two of those. My children, when I started as a part-timer there 5 years ago, were not allowed to attend the college for free. These kinds of things should be done at an institution level. We should consider all the benefits and the ways we can reward part-timers. I believe that TMCC has started to do this, but the funds for people's salary are not there. And again, I would say, if you really do the back of the envelope map and you see that we're paying people with multiple master's degrees and PhDs, something like $15,000 a year, $20,000 a year. This is unacceptable. Frankly, it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassment to be paying people this little. Other institutions, and we've done surveys as part of the part-time faculty committee. I have all the background on these things I'm saying. I could forward you the survey that we took of our own part-timers if you want to see it. I would just urge you to consider part-timers in all of these decisions. Again, I thank you and have a great day.
Thank you for your comments. Seeing no other public comment here in Reno, I am going to actually move us. I'm going to take out of order agenda item 22 before we do agenda item 21 because I understand our guests are here. President Sandoval, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the Board of Regents, Officer in Charge ABBA, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. It's a pleasure and honor to be bringing forward this agenda item. Thanks to the generous support of donors, our campus will be welcoming a new men's and women's basketball locker room and player lounge facility. Expected to open in early 2024, the facility will provide state-of-the-art resources that support a world-class athletics program that recruits, retains, and develops the country's most talented student athletes. This project is the result of the single largest gift in the University of Nevada athletics history from Eric and Linda Landis. Mr. Landis received his bachelor's in mechanical engineering from our university and is with great pride that we recognize the Lannises by naming this new facility the Eric and Linda Lannis Basketball Building, of course, with your approval. The Wolfpack family is extremely grateful to Eric and Linda for their generosity and support and for exemplifying the Wolfpack way. And with your permission, Madam Chair, we do have some photos of representations of what it would look like. We also have the head coaches of our men's and women's basketball programs, Coach Amanda Levins and Coach Steve Alford, with your permission, if they could provide some very brief remarks. Very, 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 very brief.
Thank you for the berries. Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And
good
thank
morning.
You for what you do for
athletics. Good morning. We'll be brief, but I'm Coach Steve Alford, and
This is something that was much needed, one, for our recruiting efforts, both on the men and women's side. We've got a beautiful place in Sessions as a basketball court, but both the men and the women change on the court, so it's not an ideal situation. So to now have a locker room and a lounge for our student-athletes, it's much, much needed. And Eric Lannis and Linda and others have just been tremendous in helping get this project going, and we're very excited about what the future is going to be with this.
I just would like to echo Steve's comments. And also, I think Steve and I are both so proud to represent this university and recruit student-athletes to come here. We have an amazing community, high academic institution, and a great, beautiful place. And this will just be another layer that we can attract high-level student-athletes to come to our university and hopefully represent the Wolfpack with a lot of pride. Thank you.
We are proud of your work as well. I'm really sorry. Regent Tarkanian, I believe that you have your mic on. We can hear you.
I don't think so, but I'll call you.
Oh, actually, maybe it is someone in the Las Vegas boardroom. If everyone will just check to turn their phones and mics off. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Lannis is here, and I'd like to present him. And again, this to publicly thank him and the family for making this generous gift to our university.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you to everybody. We certainly appreciate it. Our school certainly needs it. We're looking forward to getting this done rapidly.
Thank you. And this is a four-action item.
Second.
Okay, I hope. Angela, did you get who motioned and seconded? Who made the motion? Regent Geddes. Who made the second? Regent Del Carlo, I believe. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any in opposition? I vote aye as well, and thank you. And thank you for your generosity. Appreciate it. All right. And thank you for staying at the podium, President Sandoval. We will now move to agenda item 21.
Thank you, Chair McAdoo, Vice Chair Carter, members of the Board of Regents, Officer in Charge, ABBA, the entire Board of Regents, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno, and I'm proud and pleased and honored to have the opportunity to present our strategic plan for the next 4 years. Throughout our 148-year history, our university has been on a journey that has reflected the extraordinary work and achievements of our students, faculty, and staff. This journey speaks to an unparalleled energy, commitment, and passion of our people. It has made our university mission come alive, making what we do impactful and timely. It has helped us all to realize a better world. When we set out to chart the next stage of our journey last summer, we engaged the people of our university, our alumni, and the community in order to formulate the themes, ideas, and actions that were to become the basis of our 2022 to 2027 strategic plan. Our strategic plan needed to share a narrative and roadmap that would help us to advance our position in higher education as a leader in student success, faculty and staff achievement, and connection with the communities we serve. This is our strategic plan. Wolfpack Rising tells the story of how, over the next 5 years, we will be channeling our energy, commitment, and passion for our institution so that all aspects of our mission and all people of our university are empowered to realize their fullest potential. It is a plan that indeed lifts us all. It is one, focused on the future, two, grounded in our rich history, three, developed through a collaborative and comprehensive process, four, centered on diversity and inclusion to increase equity. We are proud of our 148-year tradition of inspiring excellence. Just in the past few years alone, we've achieved numerous institutional milestones that speak to a proven record of success. We also felt it was extremely important that the strategic plan reflect our roots in another key sense, our land grant heritage. The needs of Nevada are constantly evolving as our demographic shift and our diversity increases. You will see elements of how a modern land grant institution anticipates and meets the future needs of all Nevadans throughout our plan. Commitment to diversity is another underlying theme that runs throughout our strategic plan. HSI status is an extremely important institutional goal for us. The strategic plan lays out a clear roadmap on how we can achieve the status, but more importantly, how we can continue to meet the needs and enhance the opportunities that we are now offering our students from our most diverse populations. You see in this strategic plan with a focus on Indigenous groups, legislative tuition access, and scholarship programs, an emphasis on integration of efforts with student services for increased retention, belonging, and community, a focus on creating a culture of assessment, evaluation, and transparency on DEI. In the next 3 to 5 years, we have some big goals. The strategic plan speaks to how we can leverage our Carnegie R1 status so that we can reach MSI and ANAPESI designations during this time frame. We are already on the threshold of achievement for these designations. The strategic plan explains how through numerous initiatives, including a comprehensive recruitment strategy to increase our number of Pell-eligible students, how we will meet these important designations. These are just a few highlights of what my presentation is going to touch here in a moment. First, though, I wanted to explain how our strategic planning process was a comprehensive and collaborative process throughout. So throughout late summer and through the fall of 2021, Provost Thompson and I together attended 32 listening sessions among all of the colleges, schools, and units on our campus, as well as student, alumni, and community groups. These gatherings were incredibly helpful, and I will always recall them fondly during my service as president of this university. What was shared by our Wolfpack family were candid assessments of what we have been doing and what we've gotten right and what we could have done better and what we've done wrong. Some of them were pretty tough, but honest. Just as important were the ideas that we discussed. We all know that every university campus is a place for ideas, and ours is no exception. What was incredibly moving to all of us was how invested and how strongly our people felt about the future of our university. They all contributed to our future. And as the ideas and programmatic initiatives kept coming, Provost Thompson and I felt that the listening sessions were exactly what the process had needed. We also quickly digitized our effort to expand our reach, creating a strategic planning website that welcomed online feedback and idea submissions. And as you can see, a steering committee and a working group were formed. These groups both represented a broad cross-section of all our university stakeholder groups, academic and administrative faculty, staff, students, administration, alumni, and friends. Our working group's 21 members are listed here. This group met regularly throughout the academic year along with representatives from Grant Thornton. They work collaboratively to mold all of the wonderful ideas for our future that has accumulated through the listening sessions and received through the online feedback. The old motto for the Peace Corps applied to this group, the toughest job you will ever love. Our planning timeline was rather aggressive, but entirely achievable. I made the call to our campus that I wanted everyone's most audaciously bold ideas for the future of our university. This same kind of audaciously bold mindset was present as we worked to meet the timeline. We continuously worked toward a common goal. The plan needed to be delivered on time, but it also needed to be right. This was a must. It had to speak to everyone associated with our institution. So, what were the goals that were eventually decided upon. Six goals were formulated. Goal number one, strengthen the PAC, which deals with how we achieve inclusive excellence for our students, faculty, and staff. Goal number two, invest in our future, which details how we're going to deliver the services, organization, and infrastructure to meet the needs of our ever-growing university. Goal number three, lead for Nevada, which speaks to how we will continue to deliver on our land-grant mission in an increasingly modern and complex world. Goal number four, transform the world, which lays out how we plan on elevating our top-tier research and contributions. Goal number five, make silver and blue the new green, which acknowledges and plots a path forward in how we can become a leader in environmental expertise and campus sustainability. And goal number six, expand the Wolfpack impact, which lays out a compelling future where we reinforce our impact to Nevada and strive to become a campus without borders. We felt it was an imperative that our strategic plan align with your goal, the Nevada System of Higher Education goals of access, success, close the achievement gap, workforce, and research. You can see by this chart that every one of our strategic plan's goals touches numerous, if not all, of NC's system and statewide goals. I want to quickly give you an idea of what is underpinning each of the goals. As I mentioned earlier, we received numerous ideas. And for many of them, there were definite ways we could quantify them and make them data-driven with measurable outcomes. For goal number one, strengthen the PAC, the strategies include increase equitable student outcomes while growing enrollment to 25,000 by the year 2030, and to become a career destination for diverse faculty and staff. For goal number two, invest in our future, we're going to enable our success with an agile organizational model and leading business operations and deliver the physical and technological infrastructure necessary to support our future. For goal number three, lead for Nevada, some of the strategies include an emphasis on our academic offerings as well as how we deliver more services and knowledge to Nevada. The strategies include enrich our academic portfolio and to increase service to and collaboration with communities across the state. For goal number four, transform the world, we believe it is essential that we continue to grow our research portfolio, which not only includes major grants and fellowships, but also competitive support for our graduate students and postdocs, and we heard about that yesterday. We have big goals in mind for this. Progress toward becoming a top 100 R1 institution and a top 50 National Science Foundation Public Research and Development University. And moving toward achieving American Association of Universities membership indicators. For goal number five, make silver and blue the new green, the strategic plan makes clear that location is everything to us. We are uniquely situated and have an incredible opportunity to become the unquestioned leaders in environmental and resource studies and sustainability. And it's no accident that we have that photo of Lake Tahoe there with the upcoming acquisition of the Sierra Nevada University campus or the new University of Nevada, Reno at Lake Tahoe. As climate change occurs throughout Nevada, we have to seize this opportunity to provide the needed research and innovation needed to meet this challenge. We have every intention of making our campus a model for sustainability. For goal number six, we plan to expand the Wolfpack impact in a variety of ways. The strategies include leveraging our achievements on a broader scale and by making our prospective and current students aware of the rich legacy of service to one's community that they are inheriting when they walk on to our campus. We want all of our people to live the Wolfpack way, which means it isn't about me, it's about us. And our strategies include strengthen the university's reputation and brand recognition nationally and globally, and to enhance connections to and pride in the Wolfpack Way. And these are some of the outcomes. The impact of our strategic plan is going to be substantial. Our strategic plan has helped us take a clear-eyed look at our institutional strengths and areas with potential growth as we meet the challenges of our time and the opportunities for the future. It will, going forward, help us direct our resources and planning efforts for the realization of an ambitious future. Our plan will aid us in becoming more nimble, creative, and entrepreneurial in everything that we do. The strategic plan is going to inform all of our decision-making processes in the future. The plan, at its core, provides our university not only with a roadmap to the future, it bolsters our commitment to our land-grant mission and provides self-actualizing opportunities for achievement for our students, faculty, and staff. Wolfpack Rising is a demonstration of where we are going in the coming years, a plan that will guide us on our continued journey and our continued trajectory for excellence. Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the Board of Regents, thank you for the opportunity to share the Wolfpack Rising, our strategic plan, with all of you today. I want to thank everybody publicly that played a part in developing this plan, because it truly was an inclusive and comprehensive effort to come to where we are today. So thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, President Sandoval. I think it was very obvious by the plan that it was very inclusive. And I really appreciate the work on it. I found it personally to be a great strategic plan. And I will now ask if there are any questions or comments.
Move approval. Second.
All right. So Regent Geddes and Regent McMichael, and I have Regent Moran online for discussion.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it, and I'll be brief.
I just wanted to say real quickly,
thank you, President Sandoval. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for your creativity. Thank you for your professionalism. And thank you for the commitment to the system. I wanted to tell you I appreciate the presentation, and I feel that UNR's strategic plan for the 2023 to 2027 period is spot on. I feel that it's consistent. It preserves and maintains the integrity, of course, of our bylaws, specifically our VOR handbook, Title IV, Chapter 14, Section 3, Subs 1 and 2. I would ask my colleagues to support the recommendation made by the Chancellor's Office and appropriately approve UNR's strategic plan, again, for the 2023 through 2027 timeframe. One last thing I wanted to point out, again, an accolade to the President, his top brass, and obviously his administrative staff, is taking into consideration the components of a strategic plan, three of which I wanted to obviously highlight, one being the foundation. President Sandoval, again, going to creativity in your mission statement and the objectives and how to make it fun, not just academic and linear in nature. Two is your supporting components, such as values, institutional goals, institutional vision. And then finally, three, the strategic plan itself, the goals and objectives of the plan, and also the implementation of the plan. I'm very excited to see this plan hatched. Again, I hope that my colleagues can get on board, and I look forward to seeing this thing move forward. I thank you for your time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Moran. And Regent Del Carlo?
Okay, let me get to where... I loved your strategic plan, too, and I know when we had our conversation, I forgot to ask you a couple questions, so indulge me. On slide 17 of 39, on the first one, it says, establish an office to grow partnerships with other institutions and approve the transfer process focusing on Nevada's two-year institutions and international students. So you mean partnerships with your fellow institutions on that, right? The other six?
100%. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. I just
Madam
Chair,
sure. shooting through it at okay. Regent Del Carro.
I want to make sure that was right. I want to. And then on slide 19 to 39, it says increase annual engagement and sentiment scores for faculty and staff. I've never heard of a sentiment score, and I meant to ask you that. What is that?
Well, it's a collaboration with our faculty and staff that they are satisfied and
okay.
with what we're accomplishing on campus.
Okay.
And what it's meant to really state is that we want to continue to work with them to try to have the best experience they can possibly have on our campus.
Okay, good. And I just had never heard that term before, so thank you. And I know a couple years ago, under President Johnson, they had done, I think, a campus-wide listening tour. So did you have that report? You guys look at that report, too, when you were doing your strategic plan? Because I know it had an outside consultant with a lot of recommendations, too.
Yeah, no, we thank you, Madam Chair, to you and through you to Regent Del Carro. We did have the use of that survey that was accomplished on the campus and had been finished immediately prior to my arrival.
Okay. And then on 21, expanding the digital Wolfpack initiative. Those are the laptops. That's
correct.
What that is. Okay, making sure. And on slide, let's see, this is slide 22. One, two, three. The fourth bullet point, implement a responsible recruitment and retention approach. That's the only bullet point you didn't put a goal by, a time frame. So you might want to put a time frame by that one. You see, you make sure we read all this stuff, right?
Yes.
I liked. Okay. That's all. Just some clarification. It was a great plan and well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other questions or comments. I will call for the question and I will take a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
No opposed. I vote aye as well. The motion passes. Thank you for a great job done.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the Board of Regents. We appreciate your support.
And now I invite President Hilgersum to the podium for her metrics presentation, and we look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Hello again, members of the board. Karen Hilgersum, for the record, president of TMCC. I am delighted today to present this performance metrics presentation. I'll start by saying that TMCC continued to endure a lot this past year. Fall 2021 did not mark the end of the pandemic, despite the availability of vaccines. And although many campus operations began to transition to a new normal, pandemic-related challenges, including a downturn in enrollment, continued. Yet there was much to celebrate, and again, here we go. First, a quick reminder about the TMCC vision, mission, and value statements. This was approved by the NC Board of Regents in March of 2021. The mission is of a predominantly two-year college, and this differs from our university partners in ways that could eat up all my time if I talked about it, so I won't talk too much. But suffice it to say for now that our students at TMCC are not all fresh out of high school. Many have several certificates and degrees, earned many points in one's lifetime. We hope to strengthen and to some extent rebuild a culture of care that extends to all employees and deepens for our students post-pandemic. I believe that for students, we must demonstrate compassion and create a sense of belonging where, and I quote, a person can create a future you will love with accessible, innovative educational opportunities at TMCC. Together, we can make it happen. We are nearing the end of our 50th birthday celebration, and so you received your birthday boxes yesterday. Thank you for those who were here. It saves us on postage, and we're very frugal these days. At a glance, 67% of our students are degree-seeking, and 33% are non-degree-seeking. Think about that. 33% are non-degree-seeking, so they're coming to us for something very specific. The majority of our students study at the Dandini location, a location that is less specialized than the William and Pennington Health Science Center at Redfield, the Meadowood Center, or the William and Pennington Applied Technology Center located on Edison Way. 70% of our students are part-time and 30% are full-time. We currently have 156 full-time faculty and 262 part-time faculty. Now that we are moving beyond the dangers and risk of the pandemic, I hope that all of the regents will have an opportunity to visit and tour one of our various campus locations, or all of them. You've got my number. 71% of TMCC students are transfer degree seekers. And of these seekers, 61% successfully transfer. Majors growing in popularity include the sciences and engineering, emergency medical services, and psychology, to name a few. You will notice that most of my slides are moving forward, identify the NSHE board goal that is most pertinent to the information, and that's indicated on the side tab. For example, enrollments help us measure the goal of access. Enrollment has dipped at TMCC, and we believe this is largely pandemic-related. Our award-winning marketing efforts continue, however, and we are pleased with our national gold and two silver awards in the NCMPR National Marketing Competition. Marketing, however, has not been persuasive enough during these hard times. We are doing our strategic best to reverse this trend line. We have made a strategic effort to focus on the students who did enroll at TMCC, and I will celebrate some of those successes in a moment. We also expand access through dual enrollment. Dual enrollment is mostly delivered by well-qualified TMCC faculty deployed to local high schools and at one of TMCC's locations. Over the last 5 years, TMCC has experienced an almost 200% increase in high school students taking dual enrollment classes, and again, most of the faculty have master's degrees in discipline. This excludes TMCC high school students. TMCC is home to TMCC High School, a great high school. I think it's the best in town, but I'm biased, in partnership with Washoe County School District. 34% of high school students enrolled in a dual enrollment program while in high school and continued at TMCC after high school graduation. So that's great. That's what we would like to see. Many of the other, the TMCC High School students, really, they go all over the country, many of them on scholarships. Several of our SGA presidents have gone on to places like Stanford, Johns Hopkins. It's pretty incredible. And many of them choose UNR, of course. High school students receiving degrees from TMCC has increased from 48 to 85 in the last 5 years, 60 from TMCC High School and 25 from other high schools. And we'll see that trend continue because we have worked really hard the last 5 years to expand our dual enrollment at high school locations. Flexible delivery options also promote the goal of access and respond to the needs of a new Nevada. Students are often mixing online with face-to-face courses, and this graphic depicts the numbers. At TMCC, approximately 2,853 students and 591 high school students enrolled in only in-person classes. 2,838 students and 609 high school students enrolled in online only. And finally, 2,642 students and 252 high school students mixed in person and online. And I think that's actually a good trend. This slide zooms in a bit on online offerings, and I'm going to spend a little more time with it. Moving out of the pandemic, we moved toward fewer online offerings compared with the previous year, but more than years preceding the pandemic. In spring of 2022, we offered 565 sections online with over 25,000 duplicated enrollments in the 21-22 academic year. Trying to find the best mix is really tough coming out of the pandemic. Some students want the flexibility of online, and because of their learning style, they will succeed. Some students want flexibility, but what they need are structured in-person classroom settings with healthy doses of human connection, spontaneous faculty interactions, both verbal and nonverbal. Without that, faculty can miss cues related to engagement and understanding. A few faculty have told me so. Even worse, we miss all of their cues if they are in a Zoom room with the camera turned off. As the president of TMCC, my goal is to do what is best for TMCC students. I want the students to develop real competencies to become stronger writers, thinkers, artists, medical personnel, technicians, engineers. I'm counting on faculty and staff to get them there. I'm counting on you as policymakers to do your part too, through asking good questions and verifying that NSHE institutions are meeting realistic expectations, expectations that emphasize equity and excellence. This means that we have to be open to technology. For example, at TMCC, we are making good progress in enhancing physical classroom spaces and using new tech to do so. Several classrooms are now outfitted with cameras, more than one, a roving iPad, and a large smart TV screen that captures student faces through Zoom and allows the same students to interact with the live bodies and faculty member in a live classroom. This is belonging. You can belong even on those days when a parent needs to be home with a sick child, for example. This is compassion. These faculty are redefining what it means to attend class. I am so proud of the faculty at TMCC who are leaning into these new physical classroom changes. All right, now let's take a look at another important access element, and that is funding for tuition. This also demonstrates our compassion. We continue to provide robust scholarship support with a continuous upward trend in donor funding. I am so grateful to all who contribute to the TMCC Foundation Scholarship Fund. It's definitely a big piece of our work as administrators at TMCC. And we have an outstanding foundation and grants team led by Gretchen Sawyer, and I am grateful. The generosity of our community is not missed by our scholarship recipients, and I'm very proud that we continue to make upward gains despite some of the challenges. Our grants are holding steady, too. When we subtract the HERF ARP dollars, we are at $10,131,000 and some change this academic year, a five-year high point, possibly a new record for TMCC. Highlights this year, approximately $100,000 from WIN, and hopefully some good news next week on that fund source. A $300,000 Sandy grant that many of us participated in, wonderful, wonderful grant. An NSF grant, $440,000 for advanced technology education related to advanced manufacturing, and these are just a few examples. And of course, we quickly raised $4 million, as I reported at the March meeting, for the expansion of the health science facility. We look forward to sharing that new facility with you. So far, it's on track, and the construction and planning documents are actually coming in under budget. So I'm saying my prayers, okay? All right. Now let's turn to grad rates as a key indicator of the NSHE goal of student success. Note that this slide is IPEDS and only captures first-time full-time students. The number of students captured this year are a cohort of students that began in 2015, and they include 753 students. Remember, our enrollment the last 5 years averages about 11,000. So the cohort's relatively small, but it's first-time full-time, and it does allow us to analyze kind of apples to apples. Our completion percentage went down, but the number of grads went up compared with last year, 197 this year compared with 176 last year. The one I like better is SAM. SAM is a new national data set that's been very helpful. We learn quite a lot because this data captures part-time students new to TMCC. They may have attended another college, so maybe second or third time students, but new to TMCC. So if a part-time student stops out and comes back, they're not counted in this cohort. And what's the percent of our students who are part-time? 70%. Okay. The size of the SAM cohort this year was 1,499, so almost 1,500. So you can see why this cohort for us is more meaningful in terms of data. It's double the size. Our numbers are holding steady. The most recent SAM cohort began in 2015, and as you can see, 40% graduated, 7% are still enrolled, 19% have transferred typically to UNR or UNLV, and 35% are unknown, which probably means that they are working, ideally in a field connected to their coursework. Now let's turn to IPEDS peer comparison. We continue to aspire to improve upon our graduation rate compared with peers that are similar to TMCC. However, this graph only pertains to the first-time full-time cohort. And you will see in a minute that when you look at overall completions, that we continue to make comparative gains. Our aspirational colleges not pictured here and identified back in 2017 included Everett, CUNY Lehman, and Santiago. Since that time, we learned that CUNY Lehman is predominantly four-year with graduate degrees, much higher tuition, and their grad rate is 53%, not an appropriate comparison. And Santiago Canyon produces a very high number of certificates, so they're almost their grad rate is higher, but most of that are a large proportion of certificates. We look forward to revising our aspirational peer list in the near future and with more appropriate comparisons. As a fun aside, TMCC Culinary Arts swept the Spring 2022 Skills USA competition. Three students won a gold, silver, and bronze medal in overall culinary arts, and of these, two were part-time students. Notice that part-time students can represent some of the best students, too, in terms of their skills and success. The students also took a gold, silver, and bronze in commercial baking. Our diesel and CNC machining students earned a gold medal at Skills USA this year, and we're very, very proud of all of them. This is my favorite slide. We topped the number of degrees and certificate earned when compared to our peer selections. We also beat ourselves. We are proud that we managed to do so despite the pandemic. We believe the secret to really making gains lies in the progress related to retention. Retention is a word used in higher ed to identify the number of students who persisted from one term to the next. Sadly, we often lose students, and this is a national problem, but still, it's my problem. We often lose students between spring term and fall term, so summer gets in the way. This is one reason why the IPEDS cohort is relatively small compared with the entire enrolled student population. If those students go away and then they don't come back in the fall and then they come back in the spring, they're out of the cohort. Happily, we are trending up again, and we're grateful considering how many students we lost during the first year of the pandemic. And we're seeing a similar trend for part-time students too. Let's look at trends related to ethnicity and the NSHE goal of closing the achievement gap. As you can see, underrepresented groups, including Latinx students, stopped out in greater numbers during year one of the pandemic, and yet we endured. This past year, we saw a return to increasing Hispanic enrollments. Why does this matter? Many reasons. First, there are reasons related to extra federal funding that TMCC receives because we are a Hispanic-serving institution. Perhaps more importantly, this segment of the Reno-Sparks areas are often first-generation college students, meaning they are the first in their families to attend college. This may include children of immigrants, such as myself, or recent immigrants. This population may be enduring tough financial circumstances, made even tougher by the pandemic, and they are likely working part-time or full-time jobs. Over time, these families learn to assimilate, speak and write well in English, succeed in a career, and contribute as citizens and taxpayers. These are just a few examples. Many can thus defend democracy in two languages. But this path is hard, and it does not happen overnight. Past privilege is not extended oftentimes to immigrants, typically at least not without public higher education. That's where we come in. Pretend that there is a 3-foot deep sunken living room right here. Just visualize that in your mind. Except that instead of a few stairs or a ramp, there are no steps. There is no ramp. Now imagine yourselves extending a hand. You extend a hand to provide a bit of a lift through your attitude, your services, your good advising, your tutoring, your counseling, your compassion. We create a context at TMCC, at least we try, where students, all students, feel a strong sense of belonging. We are not looking down on them because they need a hand up. That's why it matters. Of course, we care for all students, but all students do not start on the same level floor. That's the beauty of a community college. We are pretty darn good at bringing folks up to the same level so that they can fly from there. The graduation rates of ethnic groups are shown here, but again, this is IPEDS, only first-time full-time, so the N is relatively small. However, when we look at other indicators, such as number of degrees and certificates awarded, the story is a good one. Students are succeeding, even when those who may represent some of, even those who are in the groups of some of America's newest immigrants. All right, at this point in this statistically rich presentation, I usually notice that eyes begin to glaze over, so I'm doing something a little bit random this year. We're going to take a little video break, and I'll also use this opportunity to mention that the upcoming seven-year NWCCU visit is happening October 12th through 14th. Be there, be square. We will be showcasing 50 years of transformative work with TMC students. And now, if I think I need help with the video. How'd you like that 1971 disco music? Yeah. All right, two more goals and so little time, but don't worry, I'll make it. Okay, I will focus now on the NSHE goal of workforce. The goal of a high-quality workforce, which we've discussed today, is central to what we do in our communities at TMCC. This slide indicates the number of certificates and degrees that we continue to offer in technical and health career areas. Degrees going into effect next year that we're really excited about. An AS data science degree, that's an associate of science degree, so that will likely should transfer. Bachelor of Architecture, sterile processing technician skills certificate, veterinary assistant skills certificate, dental assistant basic training skills certificate, and fire suppression skills certificate. Here are some workforce highlights from the past year. The Emergency Medical Services Program enjoyed a 36% increase from fall 19 to fall 21, and an 11% increase in unduplicated headcount enrolled in EMS courses over the same time period. Oh, got to back up. In nursing, the 2021 NCLEX pass rate was 95.2%. Yay. The TMCC Business Department plans to offer an additional fully online format to complete the business AA degree beginning in the fall of 2023. Students will be able to complete one five-week class at a time throughout the year with 2 one-week breaks and still complete the full degree in 2 years. So we're piloting this to see if it adds flexibility for many of our business majors who tend to work outside of school. We are honing in on teaching pipelines for children and strengthening childcare with the help of TMCC students. For example, all early childhood education majors or ECE majors are required to do observations in the TMCC Center, and many complete their practicum experience with the TMCC Child Care Center. Some ECE majors are employed by the center and join other students who are employed by the center in majors like human development, family studies, social work, speech pathology, public health, and elementary education. Perhaps the best example of work-based learning are found in TMCC apprenticeship programs. These are Earn As You Learn programs. Registered apprenticeships are programs used to build a highly skilled workforce through a combination of structured training and on-the-job training. Apprenticeships can be used in almost every sector. TMCC has two primary models, labor union-sponsored apprenticeships and TMCC-sponsored apprenticeships with the manufacturing and health career sectors. TMCC can also serve as a program sponsor and help employers recruit workers for apprenticeships. This past year, TMCC served 663 apprenticeship, and listen to these fields across the board. Healthcare, construction trades, advanced manufacturing, veterinarian technology, early childhood education, culinary, bookkeeping, paralegal, construction management, graphic communications, architecture, automotive, welding, logistics, and emergency management. As for the future of work-based learning, the perspective of TMCC is that the way the workforce and education partners work together needs to shift a bit and change a bit from education producing the product, an employee with education and skills. Instead, change that. We need to be education and employers working together to continually develop the skills of the employee throughout their career. When employers support the continued development of their workforce, they improve their own employee retention, long-term succession planning, new employee pipeline development, and morale. So turning to the final ENCHI goal of research, TMCC has been gradually expanding research opportunities for our students. Some of the fun ones this year, funded by NIH, INBRI, NSF, EBSCOR, NASA Space Grant, NSF D2D, which I'm forgetting what that means, so I hope you don't ask me. Analysis of yeast, optimizing DNA concentrations, accounting for long-term drought in the development of the Truckee River watershed, assessing human impacts in urban green space, genetic differences in bobcat populations. And again, I didn't have time to highlight this year, but TMCC is a very proud member of Second Nature. We take sustainability very seriously. It's our values. We've been nationally recognized for it, and I look for more good to come. And I invite all the presidents to embark on this with us and attend the Second Nature Conference. Hopefully it'll be in Arizona, pretty close, and really wonderful conference. So two great highlights include the students of Professor Kurt Ellers from math. They presented actual research on low-cost diagnosis of scoliosis at a math conference recently. And Dr. Megan Gray, who after a very long wait, finally captured a live bobcat for a study of feline disease prevalence in Reno, Nevada. Of course, this happy capture meant that TMCC video expert Tim Ill raced with his camera to the bobcat location, and this meant that our very own regent, Joe Arascata, had to wait quite a long while for his graduation video filming session scheduled for that same day at the same time. So thank you, Regent Joe, for putting bobcat and science education first. We really appreciate that. All right, some new initiatives. Now that 2020, this year is behind us, what's next? Well, first, we hope to grow TRIO even more. TRIO provides case-by-case support and help and served 103 students this past year. We did exceed two federal TRIO targets that are set for us by the Department of Ed, with the number of first-generation college students and students with disability who were also low income, so kind of double eligible, that we serve through the program, and we're very happy that we identified those students and got them involved in our program. Secondly, in June of 2021, the Elizabeth Sturm Library acquired, finally, a new library catalog or discovery service, which allows users to search most of the library's physical and digital collections using a single search. Features of the new system include the ability to search for books, ebooks, and database articles, and even collections of UNR, GBC, and WNC with a single search, and students can also request items. The system also finds various scholarly open access full-text materials on the internet. Users can sign into the system and save search citations to their account, so that's pretty cool too. This new system is more powerful and cheaper than the old one. Third, 55 faculty have signed up for the TMCC OER initiative. Thank you, Dr. Jeff Alexander, for your amazing leadership in this regard. They will work this summer to research and identify open and free course content and ideally move their course content and curriculum to a free or almost free format. These faculty will also receive an iPad to assist them with this work, a state-owned iPad, so I guess it's that we're just lending it to them. In the future, we hope the ease of the iPad and the creativity that this tool can inspire will also be folded into the student experience in meaningful and significant ways. Fourth and fifth, our faculty advising pilot and our EPY College Success Course redesign are underway. These pilots were deployed due to the stressors of getting, or are delayed, not deployed. These pilots were delayed due to the stressors of getting through the pandemic. But now we are making really great progress. I hope to share some good results of these redesigns at this time next year. And I will close with the student success story. Please allow me to introduce to you Dr. Christiana Akinola, who happens to be the spouse of Dr. Ayo Akinola, TMCC Executive Director of Facilities and Capital Planning. Dr. Christiana earned a bachelor's degree in civil engineering in 2002 and worked in the field for quite a while. After the birth of her second child, she realized that her true calling was medical school. So she enrolled at TMCC, where she earned her Associate of Science, Hardcore Sciences, in 2014. Although these degrees appear really out of order, these degrees earned her eventual admission to Walden University and the St. James School of Medicine, Bonaire, Netherlands Antilles, where she completed her Doctorate of Medicine in 2022. I'm happy to report, and this is the best line, that she is beginning her residency with UNR Family Medicine this summer. And part of that will also include a rural residency for Elko Nevadans. Yay! Anyway, give it up. Give it up for Christiana. I should say Dr. Akinola. So, compassion and belonging. Students can come home to TMCC when they need us, and we're very proud of that. Dr. Christiana Akinola is such a great example of the non-traditional pathways that so many community college students manage to build for themselves. Her dream is now. Thank you for listening, and are there any questions?
Let's see, Regent Moran, I have you in the queue.
Yes, Madam Chair, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Madam Chair. I understand this item is on for information purposes only. However, I'd like to, if you don't mind, quickly shine a little light on the workings of President Hilgersum and her team, her executive team over at TMCC.
Okay.
When we consider strategic planning and strategic initiatives, some of the items that I try to focus in on are the following. One, building student access and success, strengthen learning for students, faculty, staff of the college, enriching the student experience, building inclusivity in the communities and achieving the college mission, of course, but also advancing career and workforce development. President Hilgersum, I have checked all of those boxes above referenced when it comes to you and your strategic initiatives moving forward. I feel that the institution is in fabulous stead with you at the helm. I remember my grandfather talking about luck many, many years ago, may he rest in peace, and how luck plays into the successes of business, both public and private. We would often say, you make your luck with hard work. President Hilgersum, you have been making your luck at TMCC since you hit the ground in fourth quarter calendar year 2015, I believe. 16. We as Regents can be criticized for much, but I don't think that anyone could criticize us for selecting the best and brightest, the best in class, as it relates to our institutional presidents throughout the state of Nevada. I appreciate you being a fundamental, integral piece of that puzzle, President Helgerson. Thank you for your time. And it's always a pleasure working with you and seeing a smiling face at the dais. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Moran, and thank you for the encouraging remarks. Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair McAdoo, and I want to also agree with my colleague, Regent Moran, and I know you've had a very difficult year, probably the hardest one of your life, and I just think to come here today and have another year of really great success. I mean, you have an amazing team that you've created and developed. I really appreciate your new, Jeff, your title, I forget, but to do so much for the library and the OER, I mean, students have really talked to us about that and just the expense. So thank you for bringing that and that initiative. And I know you have a new library that was under your watch. I would just like in the future, and that was, this would be for all the seven teaching institutions, that when you do your slides, like you had slide 13 and 14, you were doing the comparisons for your comparable schools and your aspirationals, it would really be nice to see where you started when we as a board set those five objectives. So we can, because I'm looking for continuous improvement. So the slide looks great, but what are we comparing it to so we can know if it's been incrementally improved? I would just like to add that for everybody. And I think you do a wonderful job. I'm really glad you're back on the EDON board. I think Public Radio, too. Are you on that board?
Oh, yep.
So you're back. You're really engaged. I mean, this is such an integral part of this Reno-Sparks greater area community and the working partnership with the university here. It's just the results speak for themselves, and you're doing an amazing job. And thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, President Hilgerson. I see no other comments or questions. I will say ditto to Regent Moran and Regent Del Carlo, but I will also say I can't wait to meet Dr. Agnola in Elko. So thank you so much. And, you know, it was a collaborative effort, TMCC to UNR, now to the community that I get to live in. It's awesome. Thank you. All right, that was for information only. We will move to agenda item number 24. And President Whitfield, please.
Thank you, Chair. UNLV is requesting board approval of a project development agreement with G2, a developer, to advance the redevelopment of the northwest corner of the Shadow Lane campus. This project is in conjunction with the redevelopment of city-owned land parcels adjacent to the campus. G2's development plan includes a medical office building, a hotel with some limited retail space, and some extremely important needed parking structure. This plan is subject to further refinement and further discussion amongst the entities. The development plan concept is in Exhibit D of the agreement submitted for in your board materials. This concept only, this is a concept only that G2, the city, and UNLV need to work through further for feasibility. And the agreement has terms for how this item will be carried out if we decide to go forward. This PDA follows the third-party disposition and development agreement that was supported by the board back in March and is the next sequential step in this redevelopment effort. Board approval of the PDA will permit UNLV to proceed in collaborating on the project, planning, mapping, construction, operations, and other project development items. This is a beneficial collaboration for UNLV and for the City of Las Vegas, allowing for improvements to both the Shadow Lane campus and the Las Vegas Medical District in whole. We're very lucky to have actual Frank Moretti Frank, are you here? Can you stand up? Frank Moretti of G2 has graciously joined us here today to show how vested he is in this collaborative effort, as well as Dave Frommer and Gene Vonker here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Please come ahead, both of you. I don't know who's speaking first, but it looks like it might be you, Mr. Frommer.
Yes, thank you, Chair McAdoo, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to the board. David Frommer, UNLV for the record. So we do have Frank with G2 here joining us also virtually. We have Mike Wixom, contracted NSHE Real Estate Counsel, and Mandy Shavinsky, contracted UNLV Legal Real Estate Counsel, who helped us work through the agreements. So an extensive process. I would say at a very high level that this project has been part of a long-term effort at UNLV to take our real estate assets, find ways to work with other aligned public entities as well as private development entities to see how we can leverage our real estate assets for the betterment of UNLV and betterment of the community. This particular effort is focused in the Las Vegas Medical District. I can say that I've been working on this with the city, and my thanks. We also have on the line Bill Arndt from the city, not a party to this agreement, but the city's just been an amazing collaborator. Been working on this effort for the past 5 years. It's evolved into this project development agreement, and really what it does is it allows us to take an existing piece of real estate that we do not have any imminent redevelopment plans for, working with the city and their parcel, working with a private developer to come in and bring private capital to redevelop this site, renew assets for UNLV, so some of our maintenance and parking assets will be renewed through this effort, and then also improve the Las Vegas Medical District through the hotel and limited retail and medical office building to help the medical and health sciences community and services, clinical services for the entire valley. There are some nice components to this arrangement to UNLV where we do get a revenue share at year 30 of the project. So we contribute land, we get replacement facilities, and then we get a revenue share after a financing period. And then at the end of the term, the 50-year operating term, the land and the assets come back to UNLV as UNLV assets. So all of this is done by leveraging our land asset, but we do not put capital into the development. And at the end of the day, not only does the Las Vegas Medical District and the community get better assets, but our students get access to this during its operating. We get a revenue share, and then ultimately we are owner of the land and the asset at the end of the term. So that's a very high-level kind of summary, but certainly happy to take questions, or Frank, if you had anything else you'd like to offer.
Thank you. Regent Moran, I believe that you have a disclosure and abstention. Would you please take care of that now?
Yes, Madam Chair, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and this is a disclosure and abstention under 281A-160. As you know, I am a member of the Board of Regents. I am a public officer defined in NRS 281A.160. Given my official duties as a member of the Board of Regents, there are potential conflicts of interest that must be recognized and properly separated from public duties. Pursuant to NRS 281A.420(1), I must disclose a full nature and extent of my pecuniary interests and or private commitments, including those pertaining to private employer and its clients, the associated effect of any actions taken by me in my official capacity. In addition, pursuant to subparagraphs 3 and 4, public officer must also abstain from participating in any matter materially affecting my own pecuniary interests and private commitments to private employer, that being G2 Capital, which commitment captures the employer's interest relating to its clients. For that matter, I'll be both disclosing, making that disclosure, and abstaining on this particular vote. Also, Madam Chair, if I could, through you and to our legal counsel, ask consistent with NRS 281A420, whether or not this is an adequate disclosure and abstention under 281A.
Thank you. Mr. Martinez, will you please answer that question?
Yes, I believe that's an adequate explanation for disclosure as well as a rationale for abstention.
Mr. Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. And also just one other thought. As a member of the Board of Regents, we are advised to comply with all requirements. And thank you, Mr. Martinez, for making that that connection.
All right.
Thank you
for the disclosure. Mr. Wixom, it's good to see you virtually. And I believe, was it Mr. Arndt? Thank you for joining us as well. Did either of you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Chair McAtee, this is Michael Wixom for the record. I don't have anything else to add. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think your mic might be off, Mr. Arndt. I can see your lips moving, but can't hear you. Thank you. We were unable to hear what you said. I'm going to move to Regent Boylan.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. I have two questions. Somebody's got their mic on again, and I think it's the podium because there's an echo. But two questions. I'm terrible with the gentleman at the podium. Does this contract, does this contract remain under the purview of UNLV, or is it handed over to the same people who are building the medical school and all the stuff goes under their name, and we really don't know how they're working, what they're doing, where the money is going? I haven't seen it. I don't know, so I'm saying that. So I'm just wondering, who controls this? Are we losing more control to other people? Help me. And then I have another thing, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Frommer, I believe you will be the one to answer that, please. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair McAdoo. And thank you for the question, Regent Boylan. So this agreement is independent of any development being done between UNLV, ENSHE, and the Board of Regents associated with the NHBC private nonprofit organization. So the terms of this agreement and the implementation and oversight of this agreement remain with UNLV and ENSHE. There is a land transfer for a term and then a reversion back to UNLV. The land transfer is to G2, the developer which is a party to the agreement. And then the reversion of the land comes back to UNLV and ENSHE Board of Regents. So this is completely separate from any of the agreements for the development of the medical education building.
Thank you. That makes sense. I should have known when it's under President Whitfield, we'll hear something. Someone's mic is on again. There's an echo. But anyway, I can get by that. The other thing, Madam Chair, I have no idea what Regent Moran said. How did you or Council Martinez, I still like your name, Jimmy, my friend, but I'll say Council Martinez, how did you hear him, and what did he say, and what does it mean? Mr. Moran, you're always so eloquent, but today, technology has got the better of you, so help me out, someone.
I'm going to let Mr. Martinez answer that in regard to
thank
the disclosure,
ma'am,
and abstention from Regent Moran, please. Thank you.
For the record, Jimmy Martinez, Interim General Counsel. What Regent Moran did was he put a disclosure on the record from disclosing a conflict of interest that he may have in voting for this, and stated that he will be disclosing or I'm sorry, abstaining from voting on this item because of that conflict.
I gathered that, but what is this conflict?
I think... Go ahead.
He stated he had a pecuniary interest. I did hear that. And I'm really sorry to tell you, but Regent Moran has left the call, so I can't ask him to repeat that for you. But it is common for us to give, in fact, it's required for us to give disclosure statements and abstentions if we have any conflict, such as what he had.
Chair McAdoo, may I speak on this?
Yes, please, you would know.
Frank Moretti, G2 Capital Development. I think what the abstention's from is Clark Hill, the firm that Regent Moran is part of, had represented me early on these documents in the early stages. However, not Regent Moran himself, just the firm, the national firm, Clark Hill. They no longer are representing us, but I think that's all that there was there, is that he was associated with that law firm, and that law firm was doing work on our behalf on some of the implementation documents.
Thank you for the clarification. Regent Boylan, does that answer your question to satisfaction?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. That does help a lot, because when I hear pecuniary interest, it's always very, very particularly weird to me, and I like to know what kind of pecuniary, that's a strange word, but it's good. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you, young man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the question.
Madam Chair, for the record, Harry Ward, Deputy Attorney General, and I can assist this board under 241.0355 in the event that, because we will have a reduction in the vote, and that's where I am here to assist, because under 281.420 subsection 5, there was a recusal, and thus reducing the number of votes. So I'm here if there's a need for an assistance.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. We are glad you're here. All right, Regent Tarkanian.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Regent Tarkanian, please. You're next in the queue.
I'd just like to quickly add the information that I'm familiar with. For the last 4.5 years, I've worked on this project in the medical district. It was in the ward I represented. And I want to tell you that when we started out, there were a lot of people who were concerned, could we all work together? In other words, are there jealousies, are there pride, and things along that line? Well, it happened that we had groups from the city, groups from NC, groups from all over, and a committee that followed it through, and it went very well. I just want to tell you how much hard work has gone into this through the city office.
Thank you for that information. Regent Geddes, I have you in the queue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick one, and I don't know if it's for you, Dave, or for Mike, but is there an opportunity prior to that 30 years, if the two parties discuss it and we have finances to buy it back early? Is there an option in there for that?
Yes, thank you for the question, Regent Geddes. David Frommer for the record. We do have a first right of refusal for purchase for sale. I think the likelihood is we might look at executing that if we wound up being a major tenant in the building, which is not currently contemplated, but certainly not impossible. But with the reversionary clause at the end of the term, the land and the improvements reverting to us at no cost, unless we had a financial stake saying we're leasing space and it made more sense to buy to avoid that lease expense. I don't know if we'd execute it, but we do have that right in the agreement.
Thank you.
Okay, I have no more regents in the queue. Oh, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair McAdoo. I just want to publicly thank you, Mr. Moretti, and your company, G2, in these days of less state dollars. Higher education really depends on partnerships with companies like yours to grow our institutions, and I'm very grateful that you've stepped forward to help the medical district in Southern Nevada.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank the system for allowing us to keep continuing our work. This is some of the most rewarding work. It is certainly the hardest work we have done in our lives, but it's definitely rewarding for that purpose. So thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. And I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
All right.
Second.
Regent McMichael, a motion, and Regent Del Carlo, a second. I think we've had the questions and discussion, unless there are any I've missed. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? I vote aye as well. The motion passes. Thank you for the partnership. Appreciate it. And thank you, President Whitfield. And thank you for those on virtual that joined us. Okay. Now we will move to agenda item 25, and that will be CFO Klinger with a budget update for us on the system administration budgets, please.
Good morning, Chair McAdoo, Regents. Chair, I know you're in a hurry, so I will make this brief. Just want to give the board an update on the system administration budget and what has transpired over the last 6 weeks since we last met in April. And so really this one slide I think is probably the most important. So when we met in April, we presented to the board at that time that we were projecting almost a $1.4 million deficit for the current fiscal year. Since that time, we've had a couple of employee payouts that actually increased that deficit. So really, after factoring in those payouts, the deficit really would have been $2.1 million. But what we've been able to do in the 6 weeks since we've met is obviously implemented the hiring freeze and made other reductions to not only operations, but travel and hosting. And so what you can see there is in that six-week period, we've been able to reduce our projected expenditures by over $800,000. So where that leaves us currently is that we are still projecting a deficit for the fiscal year, but it is smaller than what we were originally projected. So that deficit is now down to a little less than $1.3 million. Where that leaves us for the end of fiscal year 22, if you look at this slide and you just look at that number on the bottom right, it leaves us with total reserves projected at this point in time of about $3.3 million. That really puts us in a good position for continuing to ramp down expenditures going into fiscal 23. And once the acting Chancellor Urquiaga comes in, one of the first things we have on the agenda with him is to look at the organization, look at the org chart, look at some of those positions, and make some determinations on how and when we want to fill those. And with that, Madam Chair, I will stop and take questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for CFO Klinger in regard to the update? Let's see. I'm sorry. I have to get back to that item. All right. I don't see any. It was for information only. Thank you.
I had a comment. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand.
It really wasn't a question, just a comment. This kind of crept up on us because we stopped getting the quarterly reports. So appreciate the way you addressed this. But in the future, if we could get back to those quarterly reports, that would be great.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, we did send out a quarterly report in the fall, and we sent one out in the spring. So, and we will continue to do that.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move to item 26 through 31. I have in the queue Regent McMichael to make a motion for approval of all the committee reports. Every regent has received those, and I assume that we have read them, even though this morning's came in today while we've been doing some other things. So, Regent McMichael, I need you to confirm for the record that you made the motion to approve it as all the committee reports at one time in one motion, please.
Yes, I confirm that.
All right, and do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Regent Tarkanian. Are there any questions or comments on the consent items from the committee reports? Seeing none, we will take a voice vote for those, please. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Is there any opposition? I will vote aye as well, and that motion passes. And now we will move to new business, agenda item 33. But right before we get into there, even though I know we are on a time crunch, we can never, ever, ever be too busy to say thank you to those that are deserving of thanks. That would be every single person in this room and online. But I do have some specifics by name that I want to acknowledge. And that is our host, President Sandoval, and his team, and the campus partners who have really assisted him. Aubrey Flores, Janelle Garcia, Jim McKinney, Gordon Steinman, and Xander Tamiasen. And then the Joe Crowley Student Union partners, James Cox, Patricia Hand, Drew Johnson, Suzanne Turner, James Cho, Matt Miller, Steve Tovar, and all of our student workers, and there have been many. Audiovisual SCS, we thank you, Rick Romero and Claudio Asanaga. SCS, Brian Anzalone, Gar Casal, CC Perialis, Ed Boog, Joseph Domingo, and James Unfried. For the GBC IAV team, that is Alberto Jimenez, Jordan Hathaway, and the catering, my goodness. We have had some really good food and reception food. Rhonda Robinson has done a fabulous job coordinating that for us. Kathy Bowden and the Silver and Blue catering team. I want to thank the security team of the university police officers. I would be very remiss in not thanking the board staff, and that would be Carrie and Winter and Angela, and the work they go to make all these things happen with all the agendas, and that is an incredible amount of work. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank our officer in charge, Abba. She has done incredible work in these 2 months. Last but not least, Vice Chancellor Constance Brooks, I know that we've had many acknowledgments of today being your last day as an employee of INSHE, but I want to recognize that once again, and we all want to wish you well in your future endeavors. Thank you so much. All right. And now we will move to new business, and I'm going to take the privilege of starting out with two items that I have. First, I heard and understand the concerns expressed about the process outlined in our code for appointing an acting or interim chancellor. I would like to review the policy as a board and work together to craft a policy that addresses these concerns. The second item, I would also like the board to review the bylaw provision governing officer elections, Title 1, Article 4, Section 2, and consider revising the term of office so that it runs from January to December instead of July to June. This change would better align our policy with the constitutionally defined term of office for elected regents. Thank you. Do I have any other new business? Regent Geddes.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
During the research, during the ARSA committee, we heard issues about mental health, and then in the student budget, we also saw mental health as an issue that's out there, and I would like to see if the health sciences could look at that at the September meeting.
Thank you. Regent Boylan, did I hear you with a new business item?
Yes, ma'am.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a couple of things, but I'll first say we have to look into how we pay our adjunct part-time instructors. And I commend the young fellow who has the same hairstyle as mine. I commend him for standing up, even though he's full-time and he's speaking out for some other group of people. And I think it's disgraceful what we pay them. And I say it from personal experience 30 years ago when I was an adjunct instructor at community college. It was called something else than CCSN. Yeah. So I commend him, and I think we should bring this up as a new business, that we look into how we can increase the salary for all these terrific people who are really our troops in the field, in the trenches. Second, ma'am, if you'll bear with me, I really want to thank all these students who come to the meetings regularly, and they sit there, they're interested, and they all came here to speak. Well, most of them are not always here, but they came and spoke about the need that the students need, you know, for housing and how we could help them make it easier for them, and especially the young people, the young lady, two of them, I think, are sitting right there near the podium, who are always at these meetings. So I'm impressed, because most people just come for their 2 minutes of fame, and they're really not interested in what's going on like them. Really, one other thing. Again, I'm going to say this, and I mentioned it last year. We really need to have efficiency in our meetings. And by that, I mean we should not go through a death by PowerPoint every time. We need to have presentations, I understand that. But we really need to limit some of the presentations, 30 minutes, 1 hour. I think half of us fall asleep. So it's just something to think about in new business. And then we won't be rushing, and we can't speak our minds about certain things, because everybody's, well, rush, we have to get up. Well, that's really not good for the board. I thank you very much for your patience and your indulgence. And I thank all the people who presented today. But we have to be more efficient. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. We have recorded those. Is there any other new business item? I don't see any, so we will move to public comment. Is there any public comment in Elko?
There is none.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? I don't see any. Is there any public comment in Reno? I don't see any. So the meeting is adjourned, and I wish you a wonderful recess for the weekend. Thank you.